If you think the best thing you can do with your investments is achieve a high return, you're missing an important piece of the puzzle, the great power our money has for good. Hi, I'm Rob West. As investors, we're entrusted with resources to allocate and steward according to God's will and principles. It's easy to have a narrow and earthly view of investing, yet God calls us toward a much bigger plan. Robin John joins us today to talk about that plan, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest, Robin John, is co-founder and CEO of Eventide Asset Management, a Boston-based investment advisor practicing investing that makes the world rejoice. Eventide is an underwriter of this program as well. Robin is a good friend, and it is a delight, Robin, to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Rob. It's great to be here.
Robin, you founded Eventide back in 2008 in the midst of the housing crash and the bear market that ensued. And I know you did it with a vision, along with a few others, of creating an investment firm that would honor God and invest in companies that create value for the world. I love Eventide's tagline, investing that makes the world rejoice. So let's start there, Robin. How can our investments bring rejoicing to the world?
Yes, our tagline, investing that makes the world rejoice, is inspired by two verses in Proverbs. The first says that when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices, and when the wicked prosper, the people groan. Yeah. The second proverb says, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices, and when the wicked are defeated, there are shouts of joy. The righteous are people that prosper by looking out for the people in the city. The wicked often prosper through exploitation, especially exploiting the poor, and the poor groan under that oppression. Yes. So our work, our businesses, our investments can bring about rejoicing in the world when we are serving the real needs of the world. So business could either serve the needs of the world through their products and their practices, or businesses could seek to exploit others through their products and practices. We seek to invest in companies with good products and good practices.
Yeah. Well, and I love the idea that the whole foundation to investing is really supplying capital to business that should be creating goods and services that are a blessing to their neighbors and stakeholders. And I love that that's the type of company that you seek out. But Robin, what would you say to investors who are worried or concerned that they can't do both, do good and invest with excellence?
Yeah, I would tell them, first of all, not to worry. A lot of people do have the worry that pursuing integrity comes with a cost. But before I address that worry, let me make clear that I do believe that we should be willing to make sacrifices for the sake of honoring God and loving our neighbor. In Romans chapter 12, we see the Bible telling us not to conform to the patterns of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may test and approve the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. It later says in the same chapter to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Over short periods of time, I do believe that there will be periods of both underperformance and outperformance. However, there's a group called the Biblically Responsible Investing Institute, and they've assessed performance and the impact of screening. And so they created a benchmark against the S&P 500, and this benchmark that they created screened out things like abortion, pornography, tobacco, and other problem areas. And what they found is that over long periods of time, over that 19-year period, that the performance result was exactly the same. So we don't necessarily have to give up good performance to invest in line with our values. And at Eventide, we don't just avoid ill-gotten gain. We seek to embrace the companies whose products and practices are good for the world. There's a great book called The Ultimate Question that was written by a Bain consultant, Fred Reichheld, and he found that the most powerful indicator of a company's future success is the degree to which the company is serving its customers. The book explores similar research that shows that companies that create compelling value for employees can also outperform their peers over the long term.
That's incredible. You would hope that would be the case, and the research says it absolutely was. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. More with Rob and John on faith-based investing right around the corner. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. As a Jew in the first century, there were limits to how close you could get to the presence of God at the temple. Physically speaking, it was the priests who could get the closest, but a Jewish man could get closer than a woman could, and a Jewish woman could get closer to God's presence than a Gentile could. There were built-in separations between sinful people and the holy presence of God. That's why, when Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. Sin had been dealt with, and now Galatians 3 says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Which means today in Christ, you can get as close to God as you want to. Anchor Devotional is daily encouragement for your walk. Try it out today. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
We all have times of discouragement, but there is hope. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Hey, I have good news for you. God is the God of encouragement, and God has a good word from His word to encourage you, to lift you up, and to change your outlook.
Learn the power of simply having a godly outlook. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're talking about good investing, not just investing to achieve a high return, although there's nothing wrong with that, but also including the power of our investments to do good. I'm joined today by my friend Robin John. He's co-founder and CEO of Eventide Asset Management and underwriter of this program. And before the break, Robin, I know you were talking about how we don't necessarily have to sacrifice return when we're investing in a way that aligns with our values. You know, being a good company is not necessarily a stumbling block to good performance, but it actually, based on the research, should be advantageous to us over time, which is just incredible. But what do you say to those who might say, well, Robin, it's better to invest, quote, like the world, so we have more money to give away to ministry? What would you say to that?
Yeah, the first thing I would say to that is that when we think about generosity, it should not just be about how much money we give away. A person who chooses to become a teacher, for example, instead of becoming an investment banker, in order to love the children in their community, is already making a generous decision even before giving away any money. We have to live generously, holistically. Mm-hmm. It matters how we make our money, and that's why the old English preacher, pastor, John Wesley said, "Make all you can, to give all you can, but make all you can without hurting yourself or your neighbor in body or in soul. Mm. Proverbs 1 talks about ill-gotten gain and how we are not to share a purse with people that pursue plunder.
Yeah.
So we have to think about both how we make our money and what we do when we make the money. So giving money away that was not earned in a way that was honoring to God is ultimately not what the Bible desires. If anybody wants to see more scripture regarding this, what the Bible says about ill-gotten gain, yeah, please feel free to reach out to me. The question asked also assumes that pursuing integrity and the love of neighbor should lead to a lower return. While this could be true at times, I think it's inaccurate to make this blanket statement. And I mentioned this earlier about the Biblically Responsible Investing Institute's research.
Yes, you sure did. And you make a great point on that. Robin, I know your heart is that everyone would have access to this type of investing in a way that honors God and makes the world rejoice. And I'm so excited about your new book that's coming out in July. I had a chance to preview it. It's called The Good Investor. And I'd love for you to draw from that for a moment and talk about how even beginning investors, really anyone who's in our listening audience today, can invest in a way that aligns with God's design.
Yeah, my advice would be to connect with a financial advisor that could really help you. There's an entire industry of financial-based, faith-based financial advisors, kingdom advisors, yeah, and you could find them by going to the Kingdom Advisors website. These advisors are well-equipped to apply biblical principles to the way that they invest and build their clients' portfolios. My book, The Good Investor, is available for pre-order online and at most bookstores. And I believe that it's going to be a great tool for helping investors not just think about their investing, but also about their calling, their purpose, and their work.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let me just pile on to that. Folks, this is a must read if you want to think about how your faith intersects with your investing as you hear Robin's story, but also his vision for this type of investing. And you can get it wherever you buy books or at least pre-order it. Robin, you'll also be encouraged to know that, you know, we at faithfi.com, folks can connect with a certified Kingdom advisor and they can indicate that they only want a CKA or a listing of CKAs that offer faith-based investing. And in just the 6 months that's been available, now 40% of people that are searching are saying, show me only the list of CKAs that do faith-based investing. So clearly there is a lot of demand for this topic. But Robin, let's talk about The Good Investor for a moment. It'll be a great read for so many Christians. Tell us why you wrote it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this book because I want to encourage every Christian to consider their calling. I was praying about my calling back in 2007 and 2008 before co-founding Eventide. All of us have a great opportunity to work in alignment with God's heart in our everyday work. This is also true about how and where we invest our money. A lot of the faith and work books provide a rich theology, but I believe that this book does that, but it's also from the perspective of a practitioner who took that theology and put it into everyday practice.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Talking about calling, Robin, you address what's called the sacred-secular disconnect in the church, that most Christians are longing for a calling without realizing that they're already pursuing their calling. Talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, I think a lot of Christians feel like they are second-class kind of citizens in God's economy.
Yeah.
Because what we often hear is that the pastor, the missionary are called, and we are longing for a calling. So I think most Christians are like me, longing for a calling, and we want to know that our work matters to God. And so what this book does is really tries to address that, and we try to challenge what I consider to be more of an impoverished way to live our lives, believing that we are just second-class citizens in God's kingdom. I explain in the book that God cares deeply about our everyday work, that we should reflect the goodness of God in our work. If God does work that he calls good and he creates us in his image in Genesis 1:26,
yes,
then we should do work that God could call good.
That's so good. So what would you say then to listeners, Robin, who want to live out their calling but don't know where to start? What did that look like for you?
Yeah, pray, cry out, and ask God for wisdom.
Yeah.
And I explain in this book the process I went through. I used to spend late nights in my parents' basement by the washing machine and dryer and just pray and ask God to show me his calling for me. And I ultimately ended up praying and fasting with Finney at his house. And Finney became the co-founder, along with me, of Eventide. Mm. And one of the early passages that we would pray through together was Psalm 1. And it says that blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That person will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields his fruit in season, whose leaves do not wither, whatever he does prospers. So that was our prayer, is that God, just show us what you want us to do. I don't care whether I'm successful by worldly standards. I want to be successful in the eyes of God.
Yes.
And so I trusted that God would direct me and sustain me, and that I simply wanted to delight in God and meditate on his word.
Mm.
I also do want to encourage listeners, because I don't want everybody to think that you have to go and do something like start a new company in order to have a calling. I think the reality is that many Christians listening to us today are exactly where God needs them to be.
Yeah.
What I don't want you to think is that you have to go and start something new or leave your job. I think many of us just need to be encouraged to continue to do the good work that we're already doing.
Boy, that is so well said. And I know that really underscores the big takeaway from your book. Folks, go out and pre-order The Good Investor. It's available right now for pre-order, and it will be released on July 22nd. Again, it's called The Good Investor. Robin, I'm so thankful for your leadership in this space and your friendship. Grateful for your time today.
Thank you so much, Rob. It's always so good to be with you.
That's Robin John, co-founder and CEO of Eventide Asset Management. His book, The Good Investor, is available for pre-order and will be released on July 22nd. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
The mission of American Family Association is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Further, AFA believes this ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on the earth, belongs to God, and AFA's role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
In order to become godly men, young boys need to be shown what it takes. That's why Men of Honor exists. It's a privilege to teach boys age 7 to 17 the necessary life skills they'll use the rest of their lives. From 5:30 to 7:30 every Tuesday night from June 3rd to the 24th at the AFA campus, they'll learn basic craftsmanship, yard maintenance, and much more. It's free, and that even includes the food. Find out more about Men of Honor today at afa.net/events.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. Occasionally, there are those that have a more complicated financial situation. If that's you, we would love to set up a phone consultation with our team and Rob West, host of FaithFi on American Family Radio. We will go over your specific situation. If you are interested, please give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or you can visit us at afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. That number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Whatever you're wrestling with in your financial life today, we'd love to hear from you. Whether it's a spending plan, maybe it's your investments, perhaps it's debt repayment. Maybe you're trying to think through your wealth transfer process, will or trust. How much is too much for the kids? We'd love to tackle any of those questions or conversations. Just call right now. We've got some lines open. Calls are coming in, but we've got room for you at the moment. 800-525-7000. In the news today, the Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee meeting is going on today and tomorrow, with the decision on interest rates due out today at 2 p.m. Eastern. A press conference with Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is scheduled to follow at 2:30 this afternoon. I wouldn't expect too much. Traders have shown they strongly expect the Fed to keep rates at the current 4.25 to 4.5 range where they've been since December. Economists at the three largest investment banks, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Bank of America, have all predicted the Fed will keep rates firm this week. If that happens, you can expect criticism from the White House. President Trump has said that economic conditions, notably slightly lower inflation rates, warrant interest rate reductions to boost this economy. So far, the Fed isn't agreeing. We'll see if they stay the course this afternoon. And again, those details coming out at 2 p.m. And then probably more, even more important than that, would be the comments that the Federal Reserve Chairman will make immediately following. The market, in preparation for that, up a half a point on just about, the three major indexes, the Dow Jones, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ, all up about 0.5% today, the Russell 2000 as well. So kind of treading water here, slightly to the upside, waiting for the Fed decision, but then, again, more importantly, the Fed comments. All right, we want to take your questions today. We'll be diving into those in just a moment here. Now's the time to call. Anything financial that's on your mind, or if you have a story of how God's been at work in your financial life, any of those, we would welcome today. Again, that number is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You know, three questions that we should all ask and answer, especially as Christ followers, is the first question is, how much is enough? The second question is, how much is enough for the kids? And the third question is, what do I do with the rest? You know, those are really the three key questions we all need to wrestle with in our financial lives as we consider how we should handle what God has entrusted to us. You know, we talk a lot about this idea, speaking to that first question of how much is enough. We talk a lot about finish lines. You know, we talk about routinely the process for setting your first finish line. But thinking that your finish line is set in stone for life is enough to deter many people from setting one at all. What a loss, considering that a lifestyle finish line is one of the most liberating financial decisions you can make. And there's several situations, I think, where it's worth reevaluating your finish line to ensure that it's still accomplishing its purpose. So first might be an annual review. You know, some givers adjust their finish line annually to keep in line with inflation. That's a logical approach. There's not a right or wrong way to do this. The second would be family changes. Any change in the number of people you're financially responsible for is likely to affect the cost of maintaining the same lifestyle. Third, moving to a new region. The cost of living can vary quite a bit. Any move should prompt a second look at your finish line. In some cases, the same finish line may cost even less than it did before you moved. Major life events. Some major events, we're talking about maybe a child heading to college or
prolonged change in health may temporarily affect housing spending or even household spending overall. And so that might warrant another look at your finish line. We talked recently about all the resources you're in control of that, you know, we can bucket into personal spending and planning for the future. And then we have taxes and, of course, building God's kingdom through our generosity. Well, a lifestyle finish line guides your personal spending month to month. Longer term planning like emergency savings and retirement planning and investing, well, that fits into the planning for future bucket. However, your lifestyle finish line doesn't govern these types of assets. So instead, I would say planning for the future is really best managed with a net worth finish line. And that's where you're simply defining a maximum limit on the total assets that you are willing to keep in your name. And I think it's a direct counter to the bigger barns mentality of the rich fool in Luke 12, 16 to 21. So we're talking about really two kinds of finish lines when we're answering this question, how much is enough? It's that lifestyle finish line, and then it's that balance sheet or that net worth finish line. Now, I think there are three points of really spiritual wrestling, if you will, when we set that net worth finish line, and I think it has to do first with the lifestyle. So knowing where you're going to cap lifestyle spending makes it easy to know how much you'll need to live on in the future because you've already protected yourself from lifestyle creep. I think the second issue is wealth transfer. Knowing how much you're going to leave or desire to leave to any heirs helps you plan for the future now. And so think about establishing that wealth transfer finish line by limiting how much you intend to pass on. And then I think there's that conservative margin. So the future is never certain, and it can be wise to plan for the worst. However, many people plan for far more margin than they could ever need out of fear. And your advisor likely has many tools to help you put this particular part of the equation in perspective. And I think once you have wrestled through these questions, what is my finish line for my lifestyle? What's my finish line for wealth transfer? And how do I approach that conservative margin? Well, I think at that point, you and or your advisor or, you know, the both of you together, preferably, can really establish that net worth finish line and determine, okay, what am I ultimately saving toward? And when I'm on track or I've met it, well, now I have the opportunity to do even more giving. What a great opportunity to have. Hey, we're going to start with your questions after this. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
There's hope and freedom in Christ for all who carry shame. On the next Focus on the Family, Pastor Erwin Lutzer will help you overcome shame, replacing it with the beauty of God's grace. Through scriptural truths, he'll share 5 steps to clearing your conscience. It's an uplifting conversation next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
In Denver, Colorado, Jamie Sanchez obeyed the Lord's call and opened the Drip Cafe to create jobs to help unhoused people get back on their feet. Of course, the LGBTQ community began persecuting him for his Christian beliefs. His inspiring story of standing boldly for God's truth in the face of great opposition is part of our Impact series, and we'll send you the DVD as our thanks for your gift to AFA. Visit afa.net/spiritualwar. afa.net/spiritualwar.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit kingdomadvisors.com. That's kingdomadvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, taking your calls and questions today. Looks like we have two, maybe three lines open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in Ohio. Hi, Ron. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great.
First off, I want to thank you for your ministry and your program. I drive a truck and listen to it whenever I get the chance.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for saying that.
It's really awesome. But anyway, I have, I am 63. My wife is 68. And we want to set up a will and I'm trying to figure out the differences between a will and a trust. I have a live-in son that we support. We want to make sure he gets everything.
Yes.
But now, I talked to a lawyer, and he told me right off the bat he doesn't even do trust because he said they're not necessary. And from what we're learning, there isn't very many people that do anymore. And from what I understand, they're very expensive, and we're trying to get my son taken care of as easy as we can without burdening him with cost or issues.
Yeah, very good.
What are we dealing with here?
Yeah, it's a great question, Ron. Let me just ask, are you comfortable, as long as he gets it in an efficient manner, are you comfortable with him managing it from that point forward, or do you feel like there's going to be a need for a trustee to be involved to manage and oversee and even distribute the assets over time beyond your life?
No, I think he'll be okay taking care of it. It's just, we have about $300,000 equity in the house.
Yeah.
And I don't know taxes and things of that nature because I can't see him selling it right off the bat. Or if he does, it would be to get to downsize.
Yeah.
You know, so that he could support himself.
Yes. Very good. But his injury did not affect decision making or just anything that would take to manage it. Yeah.
Okay. No, not at all. And my grandchildren will be around to help him with that also.
Yeah. Got it.
Very
good. Well, yeah, I'm not an attorney, so you always want to seek legal advice here, but we can just talk generally. A will is going to direct how your assets, so your home, your bank accounts, your investments, are distributed after your death. You would name an executor to handle it, which could be your son, and then he would certainly be the beneficiary of most, if not all of it. And then, the will is very inexpensive. So I would still recommend you get an attorney to do it to make sure it complies with the laws in your state and you've thought through all the pieces and parts. But an attorney drafted will generally run you $300 to $500. With regard to a trust, that's going to be a legal entity that holds the assets during your life. And with a revocable trust, you can make changes at any point or after your death. So it lets you control the assets while you're alive with a successor trustee who would then distribute the assets after your death.
And if you were incapacitated, that trustee could step in and manage those assets even while you're still living. And then you could distribute them over time following your passing. So a will, everything happens at death. With a trust, it can extend beyond that. But it doesn't sound like with him being an adult and you're comfortable with him receiving all of it and taking over his management, it doesn't sound like you need to distribute it over time based on certain triggering events. The trust is going to be more expensive, probably, you know, $2,000-$3,000 typically, and it could go up from there depending on the complexity. The will is simple and affordable. It's going to leave those specific assets to your son. You know, it will go through the probate process, which is going to cost you probably 3-5% of the estate value, and it could take some time. I mean, it can take 6 months or longer. And it's going to be a part of the public record. The benefits of the trust is it avoids probate, although it's more expensive to set up, as I mentioned, but it does speed up distribution. We're talking weeks, you know, versus months. It's private, which protects his privacy, and you can set the terms. Is it a staggered distribution or all at once? You know, if you wanted to ensure the funds last or something like that, doesn't sound like, you know, that's an issue here. So I think those are the considerations. It's really efficiency of the passing is number one. Do you want it to happen quickly outside of probate, or are you comfortable with it going through probate? The cost, $300 to $500 on the will, probably $2,000 to $3,000 on the trust. And then the third issue is just, do you want a staggered distribution? That would be the trust. If not, then a will suffice. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is there any tax savings to him with the trust as compared to the will, or is it about the same?
No, it's exactly the same, because there's no federal inheritance tax, and any assets he receives, he'll enjoy the stepped-up basis. So, you know, take the home, for example. It doesn't matter what you paid for it. It'll jump up. The cost basis will jump up to the market value as of the date of death. And then the only time he would pay any taxes if he hangs on to it and it appreciates, well, then he'd sell and pay capital gains from the appreciation that occurred from the date of death to the time of the sale. But if, you know, apart from that, there really is no tax.
Ding, 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 ding.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Well, listen, I hope that helps you, my friend, and we appreciate your kind remarks about the program. Thanks for listening and calling, and be sure to call back anytime you want, okay?
Thank you. You have a blessed day.
All right, you too, Ron. Hey, stay on the line. I want to send you a gift. I want to send you a copy of our magazine. I think you'll enjoy it. Let's head to Oregon. Hi, Jane. Go right ahead.
I have two questions.
Okay.
I'm planning to move an account from a bank that I've been with for about 12 years, 10 or 12 years, because they slapped a $500 minimum on my account, and I'm a senior. I had a senior account in the first place, and that was free, of course. Anyway, my first question is, I want to move it to a new credit union who just came into town. They actually took over another bank, which I didn't like either. Anyway, it's Seattle Teachers Credit Union, and I like credit unions better than banks anyway.
Yeah.
But some friends of mine figure, since teachers in Seattle are likely woke, is there anything I should be concerned about moving to that credit union?
Mm, yeah. Well, as to the second part, I mean, certainly more and more believers are wanting to align their banking relationships with their values. I certainly wouldn't be able to speak to the Seattle Teachers Union Credit Union specifically as to any kind of misalignment with values or how they've, used their, you know, profits or so forth, even though everything has to be for the benefit of the, ultimately the members. So I wouldn't be able to weigh in on that. I understand what you're saying about the part of the country you're in. A lot of our folks that listen to this program are connecting with Christian Community Credit Union, CCCU, because for that very reason. They like credit unions, and I would agree. Credit unions are great. It's specifically for Christians. Probably doesn't have a branch in your area, although they're a part of a network where you can kind of walk into other credit unions if you want to, but most people do their business online. You know, they use the profits to not only, you know, provide great products, but to support Christian ministries in the name of Jesus. If you wanted to learn more there, you could go to joinchristiancommunity.com. Again, that's joinchristiancommunity.com. As to the minimum that you're seeing there, you know, banks charge minimum balance fees, you know, a lot to offset expenses like administration and transaction processing and so forth. You know, I would say, check your bank's fee schedule to confirm, you know, the details on that. But I think looking for a bank or a credit union that is fee-free and perhaps even minimum free, you know, would go a long way to helping you avoid unnecessary expenses. And I'm all in favor of that. Stay on the line. We'll finish up off the air. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Have you added AFR on Roku? With it, you can quickly access AFR programming live.
I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View.
The majority of Americans actually want to live in reality.
As well as podcasts of all your favorite shows.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.
AFR on Roku is another way to stay informed, equipped, and motivated as we join together to restore godly values in our nation. AFR on Roku. Add it today.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. With all the uncertainty in the world today, it's good to know that God's promises never change. On Christ in Prophecy, we'll examine the signs of the times and consider what's really happening in the world today through the lens of God's prophetic word. To hear more biblical hope for the future, join me for Christ in Prophecy, Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio. And find out what's really going on in the world.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got room for you today. If you have a question here in our final segment, something financial that's on your mind, go ahead and call right now. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. You know, we had a chance to talk at the beginning of the program today to my good friend Robin John. His new book, The Good Investor, How Your Work Can Confront Injustice, Love Your Neighbor, and Bring Healing to the World, is due out in July. You can pre-order it on Amazon or wherever you buy books. Again, it's called The Good Investor. And you know, Robin shares his personal story, but he offers really an inspiring alternative to the conventional view of investing by way of his story that really offers, I think, investing as a path to joy and a tool to create value and a means to heal the world's brokenness. And, you know, as he talks about his own journey from a small village in India to now leading a multi-billion dollar U.S. investment firm, he really talks about, you know, ideas that anybody can take and apply as he talks about the potential of aligning your financial decisions with your faith and values, and particularly in this area of investing, which Eventide is really just world class in. And I think as you read it, you'll not only see how your own investing can really be a means by which you fight injustice and build a better world, but also practical ways to create redemptive good through your own work, wherever God has called you, and how you can embrace that life of generosity and purpose aligned with God's calling and unlock what I would say is joy and wholeness by integrating purpose into your financial life. So this is just a great read. Again, the book is called The Good Investor, and I think in this day and age where we're seeing a dramatic increase, for good reason, in faith-based investing. This is going to be really a key book, I think, in the center of this whole space. Ron Blue wrote the foreword, and you can order it today. Again, it's called The Good Investor, How Your Work Can Confront Injustice, Love Your Neighbor, and Bring Healing to the World. It's due out in July. I got a pre-release copy. I loved it. I'd encourage you to pick up a copy wherever you buy books. All right, let's jump back in here. We're going to get to as many calls as we can before we round out the broadcast today. To Arkansas. Hi, Debbie. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I appreciate your program so much.
Thank you.
Okay. You kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting to get in that quick. Yes, sir. I am recently retired from teaching, and I have a couple of annuities. I'm in the teacher retirement, but I have a couple of annuities that I have bought into a long time ago. And one of them, I'll just tell you, it's one of them was $19,000 or so, and the other one's $13,000 or something like that, $1,300. I was thinking about putting them together, rolling one over into the other, or is there something better that I could do? Because I recently opened an IRA to put some money into, to kind of a tax advantage. I don't know whether to roll it into that or if I should keep them in an annuity, or yeah. I don't really need the money that much, but, you know, just kind of wanted to see it grow a little bit.
Yeah, no, I can certainly appreciate that. You know, I think it really comes down to ultimately how you want this money invested, because there absolutely is a process by which you can combine annuities into the same type, you know, so fixed to fixed. If you have a fixed annuity going into a fixed annuity, or even to a variable annuity, and it can be done without tax penalties. Do you happen to know whether this is what's called a qualified annuity, where the money went in pre-tax?
It was pre-tax, yes.
Okay, yeah. So you absolutely could roll these to a new qualified annuity, and the reason you'd want to do that is if you want to take advantage of the benefits of the annuity, which is basically, you know, you're willing to give up some upside in exchange for a guaranteed rate of return, or at the very least a floor. You're willing, you know, to lose liquidity because you've got other assets, because by, you know, for all intents and purposes, annuities are illiquid. They have surrender periods of anywhere from 2 to 10 years. So you want to make sure you don't mm-hmm. need the access to the money. And if you're willing to give that performance trade-off where, again, you take a little bit of a lower return, but you don't have the risk on the downside, and that gives you peace of mind, and, you know, you like the, you know, that approach, especially alongside the other assets that you have, your retirement with the teacher's pension and then your IRA, then I think, yeah, that could be a great way to go. And you use what's called a 1035 exchange to combine those, and your annuity company could give you the paperwork to do that, and that would not be a taxable event. So, I mean, I'm certainly on board with that. I think it ultimately comes down to what is the best investment for you in this season of life moving forward. And if you're unsure of that and want to explore some other options, perhaps connecting with an advisor who could walk you through all of that and give you alternatives. Because the other approach would be, rather than combining the annuities, it would be to roll the qualified annuities over to your IRA or to a new IRA. And so you could combine them together into a single IRA, whether that's the one you already have or another one. And then if you had an advisor overseeing that money, you know, you'd have complete discretion over, you know, what investments to choose, which gives you the ability to get a little better return, even though you're certainly adding risk.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, they're just guaranteed won't go any lower than 3%, both of them. And they are on fixed, so they're fixed interest, so they're, you know, they're making minimal money. But yeah. If I roll them into another IRA, I just bought a local one from a local bank, excuse me. And but if I rolled it into another IRA, what would be the recommended? I have no clue where to go or, you know, yeah. what to do
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's a good question. How much would you have total investable assets at that point?
You mean from the two annuities?
The two annuities
somewhere
plus the IRA.
Oh, plus the IRA. about 27,000.
Yeah. So okay, so you would be beneath what you would need to hire an advisor to manage that. A lot of times their minimums are
right.
75 to 100,000. So you'd have a couple of options there. I mean, one of the benefits of the annuity is it takes some of the guesswork out. But, you know, if you wanted to invest it and get it growing and you were willing to take a little bit more risk for more return, then you'd probably, you know, want to either pick one of the faith-based investing mutual funds. You know, you could go to a robo-advisor. You could even connect with our friends at Sound Mind Investing. Any of those would offer you a guided approach to that. But it would put the onus back on you to ultimately make those decisions, which, you know, I understand can be less appealing. And so that's where the annuity might, you know, take some of that guesswork out.
Okay. All right. Well, that's super. I surely appreciate it. And you have a wonderful day. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Debbie. I appreciate you. And thanks for calling today. Lord bless you. To Louisiana. Hi, Judy. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. How can I serve you?
I had some questions. I'm trying to decide how to invest the monies that I have. I'm 70. My husband is 75. And we made some bad, bad financial decisions in our early years. Was making a lot of money, didn't invest right. And then my husband ended up with prostate cancer. And I ended up losing my job. So we went through a very, very difficult time. And we have like 15 grandkids. And at this point in life, we're trying to at least get back on track. He's still going through a dilemma, but I have about, I say about $30,000 that I want to invest into something that if something happened, you know, maybe I will have something for my kids or just, you know, a safety net for my family. And I'm not into investing. I don't know what to do with it. I have a little bit of money in Fidelity stocks that, and I just put it there and I left it there. I think I have about $20,000 in there, which I don't know if I have it in. I have it in diversified funds, I think. And just want some advice what to do at this stage in life that if something happened, I would at least have something there for my grandkids.
Yes, I can certainly understand that. Judy, do you have separate from this money what I call an emergency fund, which is liquid reserves?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, so this is, it's a little challenging in the sense that, you know, when you've got $30,000 or $40,000 to invest, you kind of, you know, have to make those decisions yourself because most investment advisors are going to require a minimum of $100,000. That's just the way their businesses are set up. So I think, you know, your options are you could use what's called a robo advisor, but you'd have to be comfortable using the internet. But the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios would be one. You could use another one called Betterment, and they take a lot of the guesswork out because you could put that money in, you'd answer a series of questions, and then it would allocate the money based on the answers to your questions, and it would use kind of the broad market indexes to determine how much to put in stocks and how much to put in bonds. So again, if you're comfortable on the internet, you could go to the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Another option would be to visit with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org, soundmindinvesting.org. They could help you, give you some recommendations on some mutual funds to put it into. But that would allow you to move the money into an account, let's say at Fidelity or Schwab, and then you could buy some really high-quality, low-cost mutual funds and then just kind of forget about it. Let it grow, and it's going to go up and down with the market, but over time it should increase, and then you might have, you know, a nice little nest egg that you could pass on at your death. And you'd want to assign beneficiaries to that account so that it's split amongst your children or grandchildren, however you want to do that. So those two options, soundmindinvesting.org or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. I think both of those could suffice for a $30,000 to $40,000 investment and take a lot of the guesswork out of deciding which investments to choose. Judy, I hope that's helpful to you. We appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. Mary, I apologize we didn't get to you. Let's see if we can get you scheduled for tomorrow's broadcast. I'd love to have you on. Hey, big thanks to my team today, Devin, Sandy, Jim.
Everybody here at Faith 5, if you'd like to become a partner, that's how you can support our work. Just head to faithfi.com and click give. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.